It's Sal Capaccio.
I make a special capaccio for you, right?
Oh, now that sounds really good.
Oh, you like?
Hey, get away! Get away from my wife with that!
What's the matter, carpaccio, no good?
What do you do now?
They don't like a carpaccio.
They like carpaccio.
Oh. On WGR.
I make a capaccio for you.
Sports Radio 550.
Snow falling today shouldn't be an issue on Sunday. No, Sunday's not looking bad, right? Partly cloudy, low 30s, no precip. That's not bad. So let's go to the West Tower Hotline, because this time of year, Sal is constantly checking the weather since he is outdoors on the sidelines for the Bills games. So I think you're going to be okay Sunday. Not too shabby.
Looking okay for now, right?
Yeah, right? Knock on wood. I think you'll take, right? Partly cloudy, low 30s. That's good.
I'll take that in a December home game for sure, man.
Yeah. You know what? I wanted to start with Taron Johnson, because Sean McDermott came out yesterday and said, so shoulder surgery and his season is over. I want to ask you about him, and then I have a follow-up. But Taron Johnson had a tremendous rookie year, didn't he, Sal?
He did. It's a shame. You know, here's a guy that, I mean, comes from a small school, right? Weber State. And you're like, yeah, what is this? Fourth-round pick? Like, what are you doing? You know, don't really – most people – if you're really hardcore draft, you'd know, but you know, he's not a name that resonates with people when he gets drafted, not from a big school. But I think from the first day he showed up, for me, I remember him and Phillip Gaines, him getting some run at the slot, and you're like, hey, they must like this kid, because they signed Phillip Gaines to be their slot corner, and now suddenly he's competing. And then really very early on, he kind of took over that role. And then they had to move Phillip outside, obviously, because of some injuries, and then Vontae Davis thing happened and all that. And then it just became Taron's job. And every time he was on the field, it seemed like he made a play. He was making plays. The only thing that you always kind of cringed at was how he seemed to leave a game or be limited in practice or whatever because of the shoulder. And now ultimately, that's what's going to put him on the shelf. I hope that this fixes the problem, because he plays so tough. It's hard. You can't tell him not to do that, right? You can't. It's like telling, like I said, it's like telling Josh Allen not to run all the time. I mean, if that's how he plays and he's effective, Taron Johnson is effective because he goes in there. He sticks his nose in. He stops the run. But he is not the biggest dude, and that's what got him hurt in the first place over and over again. So hopefully this will correct it.
I think he would qualify as a surprise performer this season. Who else? You know, when you think about this roster, which guys do you think have, like, you know, who's surprisingly played well this year, guys? And it doesn't have to be just rookies, obviously, but he's one of them for sure.
Now I'm going through my head here. I mean, I think it would depend on what you expected from Shaq Lawson.
Okay.
You know, but,
yeah, right.
But
I wasn't expecting much. So, yeah, I guess that would be a good answer. Yeah.
So I think Shaq could qualify here, but I think there are some people who said, well, this is what I've always expected from Shaq. He just was disappointing for 2 years, right? I mean, I think that's a fair assessment of that. So I think Shaq would qualify. I think in a lot of ways, I think Lorenzo Alexander qualifies for this.
Yeah.
I mean, at his age, there were people who thought maybe he doesn't make the roster during training camp. I never thought that. I figured, I looked at the roster and said, he's their starting strong side linebacker. First, I don't know who's going to beat him out. And secondly, they love what he brings in a lot of other areas, so he's going to play. But for him to play at the level he played at all season long, I think is surprising to a lot of people. And I've said this, and I'll say it again. I think he's earned a second contract. Yeah. Another contract, which would be a third, actually, with the Bills. I would love for him to be able to come back, because I think he's a valuable part of what they do. Even at his age, I think that, you know, he's not showing any signs of deteriorating, and, you know, give him another shot to do that. So I think those two guys, maybe Josh Allen, the last two games would be a surprise performer. You know, it's funny. I'm looking at some fantasy stuff, and I know you guys got Scott on a little bit later. You'll probably ask him about Josh Allen. He is, like, right up there with every quarterback in the rankings now, and he's doing some things that I think have surprised a lot of people, obviously with his legs, but even with his arm now.
With your Shaq Lawson answer, let me go in that same vein. Zay Jones?
Yeah, you know what's funny about that is, I'm actually the guy on the other side on Zay Jones, mm-hmm. who I was a big Zay Jones guy before last year's draft. I really wanted the Bills to draft him. They did. I was happy they did. He just had a super disappointing year for me. I think this is what I've always expected from Zay Jones. I really liked him in college and coming out. But sure, there's no doubt, Howard, there's a lot of people that he's surprising this year. He went through a really tough rookie year last year. He talked about that in the locker room a little bit yesterday as well. But he went through a really tough rookie year last year where, you know, I think he said, people expected me to go out there and catch 400 balls. Like, there was a lot going on. It's an adjustment to this league. So there's no doubt that he's surprising. But I'm going to say for myself, this is what I always thought Zay could be and what Zay could do. It just took a year to get there.
Sal is with us on our Wester hotline, 803-0550. If you have any questions or comments on the Bills, 888-550-2550. So a couple of receivers moved out. I know there was news yesterday, but let me ask you, there's been this process in recent weeks of looking at young receivers, right? Robert Foster, yep. Isaiah McKenzie. Where is Ray McCloud these days? What's become of him?
Great question. Because just before I came on, I was doing a little wide receiver research, and I went down the list and I said to myself, how many active wide receivers have the Bills had on game day every game? And one time this year, they only had four, but then they had five a bunch. In the last few weeks, they've had six, six, and seven active wide receivers on game day.
Okay.
They only have five on the roster right now. Isaiah McKenzie, Robert Foster, Deontay Thompson, Zay Jones, and Ray McCloud. So that tells me, unless they're only going to go with four, which they only did once this year, I think because of injuries at some point, I think Ray McCloud gets another shot. I think he gets back on the field, and I think he's a part of this core group, this young group, that they really want to get a look at. I think that Ray in training camp and in preseason was a guy that they identified as, yep, this is a young guy we really like. He's going to be a part of our team going forward. And then whatever it was, I don't know, something happened. Whether that's practice habits, whether that's just not hanging onto the ball, it could be anything. We all saw what happened in Houston, the one kickoff fumble, the muffed punt, and then he was left off a road trip after that. What was it, Indy maybe?
Oh,
right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There's been a lot going on here. Well, to get to where we are now, for them to release Kelvin, release Andre, and have him as one of the five, I had a nice conversation with him yesterday. You guys break... John's got the sound in there. I did talk with Ray about this. And, you know, I asked him what he learned from that. And he said it humbled him. And he just, you know, he wants to get out there. He wants to show his shot again. He said, you know, my whole life, though, I've always been the guy that when I make a mistake, I bounce right back up. And I just want to prove that that's, you know, pretty much something that's in the past. Because I asked him specifically, do you think about what happened in Houston? Like, does that come into your mind when you're out playing and what's going on throughout the week? And he said, not at all. He said, that's in the past. And he goes, I just want to get out there and show what I can do. And, of course, you know, the organization has faith in him to be one of these five right now means a lot. So it's really funny you asked about that. I've been also thinking about Ray and where he fits in. I think this is his shot. He has a month here to try and prove himself on this roster going forward, and we'll see what he can do in the mix of these young guys.
Well, wouldn't he have to be active on Sunday? I mean, by numbers game, like you just dropped two receivers.
Well, that's what I thought too, but I'm going to go back here. Which game was it? I was just looking at the number of active wide receivers they had, and like I said, it was pretty much five every game in the middle of the year, except here we go. This is against the Colts. Against the Colts, the Bills had only four active wide receivers. They had Zay, Kelvin Benjamin, Andre Holmes, and Cam Phillips. Okay. And then they went with three active tight ends. So they had a total of seven pass catchers. Inactive, they had Ray and that's it. So it looked like, you know what, that must have been one of the weeks where they had just cut Robert Foster maybe. And then they had to wait for him to clear waivers and then put him on the practice squad. Or no, he was on the practice squad then. So to answer your question, no, he does not have to be.
Okay.
But I think it would be pretty weird if he wasn't because I don't see five or more wide receivers active, and they only have five on the roster.
Hey, back. I forgot one other thing with Taron Johnson. Who takes his spot in the nickel? Who gets that job now?
It's a good question. I know that the young man they signed from the practice squad, Denzel Rice, can play inside. So I wonder if Denzel is in the mix to do that. I don't think, like, to me, Ryan Lewis really isn't an inside guy. Levi Wallace is not an inside guy. Yeah, maybe these guys can play it more than I know, you know, and they may be working there, but I think Levi's your outside corner right now. Lafayette Pitts doesn't seem like he's really that kind of guy. So I would think Denzel Rice has a legitimate shot here to go from practice squad to starting nickel corner.
Could they play Bush there?
Yes, great. That's I think probably the way you go to start if you're going to, you know, just as far as a scheme, you go big nickel. That's what they did last week. You play a lot more big nickel. But if you have to actually line up with a corner, to answer your question, Denzel Rice. But you're right, I should have thought about that. In scheme-wise, big nickel probably becomes much more of an option here in what they did last week. By the way, I thought the safeties were outstanding last week, including Raphael Bush.
Yeah,
those guys were involved. They were blitzing a lot. They were getting to Ryan Tannehill. They had an interception. Micah Hyde did. Jordan Poyer was in there. Raphael Bush had a sack. He had the one play where I didn't think it was a penalty. They called that when he went after and when he got Tannehill early in the game. So, yeah, I think Rafael Bush would probably be the first guy you put in there as the big nickel. But if you want to just say who's the corner that has to go in and defend in that spot, I think Denzel Rice has a shot here.
It's funny. You were talking earlier about Lorenzo Alexander. We were talking about people who might be surprising this season. And I just saw Chris Trapasso from CBSSports.com retweeted a stat from NFL, ESPN NFL coverage. Percentage of downs. It's disrupted dropbacks, okay? Yep. Percentage of passing downs with a sack, an interception, a pass batted or defended. So players who disrupt pass dropbacks the most. Lorenzo's fourth in the league. Yeah. It's 3.1%. Aaron Donald, Chandler Jones, Kyle Fuller, and then Lorenzo Alexander. And I think you're right. I think in his role, with how they're using him but and what he's asked to do, he's been tremendous because he can rush the passer. He can bat passes down. He can drop back in coverage. You can play him off the edge. You can play him inside. And I'm with you. I think I know he had said he's on the show tomorrow morning. I was going to ask him about this. I read comments recently where he said, you know, when the season's done, he'll sit down and talk to the family about what he wants to do. He sure looks like a guy who could, you know, if I'm the Bills, I would think they'd bring him back, you know, in his role for another year in this defense.
Yeah, most games he has 60 something percent of the snaps on defense.
That's a pretty good number, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, right. and then on top of that, he's still playing quite a bit of special teams. I think comparable to his career, his special team snaps are way down, but he's, you know, I mean, he is 35 years old and they want to keep him fresh and they're using him in different roles. But he is still playing a lot of snaps on defense. I'm looking at it right now. In fact, last week against Miami was the first time he was below 50% since going back to the Indy game. And most of the season, he's been 50, 60%, even higher than that. And that might have been because of what you said. Maybe they went big nickel, Rafael Bush. Maybe the way all that works, maybe they didn't need Lorenzo. And Trent Murphy came back, too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's something. So, yeah, look, again, I think if Lorenzo wants to continue to play, I think he's earned a shot to come back to Buffalo, and the Bills should be very interested in wanting to bring him back. A
couple other things before we let you go. Did you have a chance to talk? So it looks like Darnold's going to start this week. Nothing definitive yet, but
I'm glad about that.
He was practicing with the first team guys yesterday in the open portion of the Jets practice. Have you had a chance to talk to any of the Bills defenders about Darnold since they didn't have to see him the first meeting?
No. But I did. I remember the first meeting I did. You know what I mean? I didn't yesterday. Our first time in the locker room this week. We asked Josh about Sam. Josh and Sam are friends. Mm-hmm. They've known each other for a while, so we asked him about him. But I do remember talking with defenders about Darnold a few weeks ago because they didn't know who was going to play that week. It had come out. It was that week that he showed up in a boot.
Yes.
In practice.
Yep.
So no one knew. That was the first game. And I do remember, you know, guys saying that, you know, they when they watch him on film that he seems like he's smart. He's smarter than the average rookie. Like, he knows where to go with the football. You know, but you know, so he's impressive in that regard. But, you know, he is a rookie, and you can be prone to mistakes if you put him in certain situations and, you know, get him to throw the ball to you and things like that. So I got the feeling that they would want to kind of confuse him a little bit, make sure that he has to think a little bit more than normal. But I know he has respect from the guys as far as, like, how smart he is and, you know, where he needs to place the football and go with the football.
It's funny, Sal. I was reading up on some Jet stuff yesterday, just reading the New York papers, and everything, as I'm reading it, it sounds exactly like what we were saying about the Bills' offense a few weeks ago. Like, they can't score. They can't run the ball. They're having problems up front. There's no passing game. They were worried about the weapons. They're terrible in the red zone. They've got three offensive touchdowns in the last five games. And I'm thinking, hey, yeah, we've been there. We've done this before. And now they're at, okay, now Darnold comes back. He was struggling when he got hurt, like Allen. And they're saying, okay, let's see if Darnold looks any better. He's coming back in with the offense that's really, really been having a lot of problems. I thought, well, yeah, we've lived that this season.
Yeah, and you could really kind of mirror the two rookie quarterbacks in some way, right? I mean, now maybe Darnold hasn't come back and been, you know, and put up the numbers that, you know, Allen or looked like Allen has yet. Maybe that happens. I don't know. But here are two guys, same draft class, both played a lot earlier than some thought. I think many thought Darnold might win that job, and he did. Yeah. I don't think a lot of people thought Allen would play right away. But anyway, they both played right away. Allen started the second game. Darnold started the first game. They played. They had some moments. They had some really bad moments. And then suddenly they both got hurt. They were out of the lineup for a while, and now they're coming back in as their team starters. So I was thinking about that yesterday, that they really kind of have mirrored each other in a lot of ways. And we'll see what happens with Darnold. It's funny now because, you know, Darnold, to me, coming out. Like, I thought he was a really safe guy. I don't know what his ceiling is. We could debate that. Like, maybe he could be really great with weapons. I thought Darnold was the safest, you know, kind of guy coming out of the draft in the quarterbacks. And I kind of really kind of wavered on that, watching him a little bit. But he is a rookie, so, you know, that's going to happen. But I'm wondering who he is. And I know Jets fans are probably still wondering the same thing. I think they probably really liked some things they saw early in the year. But as the season went on, before he got hurt, it wasn't trending very well for Sam Darnold, to be quite honest.
Yeah, he's making a lot of turnovers, a lot of picks. His game had really kind of dropped off a bit. Yeah,
it did. And
we'll see if sitting back and watching can help him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right, Jeremy. Yeah. I mean, you know, maybe that's good for him. I'm looking, where are they ranked as far as their points? Like, what are they
26th.
Scoring right now?
They're 26th in points, and they're 30th in a lot of the yards category, 30th in passing yards. They're dead last in third down. They're 31st in first downs. They're at the bottom in most of the categories.
And the Bills are no longer last in points. That's the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah.
And maybe that had been a little while. I'm not sure about that. But remember when the Bills were, quote-unquote, historically bad on offense?
Yep.
Yes,
I mean, they still are comparably, like, really bad. But if you just look over the last several weeks, you know, I don't know how far you want to go back here to do this, but they look like a regular offense, you know, or at least close to it. And the Jets are going the other way, to your point about, you know, Darnold and their team.
Clear your schedule for tomorrow. We'll talk to you for Football Friday. This way I don't have to text you later. 7:30 tomorrow. Is that okay, Mr. Capaccio? You want me to check with your people?
I'm looking. Hold on. Seven. Let's see. I got.
Oh, you're on.
Brush
tomorrow.
The dog's
Book
teeth.
Book it in there, for goodness sake.
Yeah, we're good. Okay.
All right. Thank you, as always, Mr. Capaccio. Enjoy the snow.
All right, guys. Have a good day.
Sal is going to be at the stadium later today. Get you the latest on the Bills. Follow him on Twitter, @SalSports. He takes us behind the scenes of the Bills, brought to you by Outlet Liquor. For the lowest everyday prices across the state, shop Outlet Liquor.
You ready to have a little fun here? Yesterday,
you have to ask me.
Sal and I were talking about the Bills-Dolphins game and about Armando Salguero, who wrote about how the Bills lost the game, but they're looking pretty good at quarterback, saying that you'd rather have Josh Allen than Ryan Tannehill.
Yes.
Which I would agree with. Like, at this point, right now,
I know who Ryan Tannehill is.
Yeah.
Pretty darn sure.
Right. And he's not the worst. I mean,
no.
Allen, one of the points I made was that Allen has work to do to get to what Tannehill's best was. Tannehill has a 4,000-yard season and 27 touchdowns.
I get it, but I don't think he's going any higher.
Exactly.
I think Tannehill has hit his peak.
Exactly. So there's a lot of factors in this. There's how high the guy can go from where he is and the contract. So I made a list of teams here. I'd like to know if you would rather have the Bills quarterback situation or this other team's quarterback situation, okay?
Oh,
and contract matters.
Yeah.
Right? So Miami, you'd rather be?
Oh, I'd rather have the Bills.
Cincinnati.
I think I'd still rather have the Bills. No offense to Andy Dalton. He got us a playoff spot.
I think a lot of times in this conversation,
I don't even know what his contract is, but I think, again, I know who Dalton is, and I just don't think he's getting to another level.
Right. There's a philosophical thing here to say. This doesn't mean you think the Bills guy is better. It's just I'd rather have the cheap guy that I can still maybe see if he can be great versus the expensive guy who has established what his ceiling might be.
I mean, here there's an unknown, obviously. I don't know. Josh Allen might not ever get to be Andy Dalton.
Right.
I mean, Andy Dalton's been in the playoffs multiple times.
Exactly.
But I think I know who those guys are. So, okay, go ahead.
Raiders.
Man, you know what? If you asked me a year ago, I would have said the Raiders in a heartbeat.
My answer is the Bills.
I don't know what to think about Derek Carr anymore. His game has gone down so much. I'd almost give it a push. I don't really know on that one.
Bucks.
No, I don't want you. I don't want Jameis. No.
Lions.
You know, I might take Stafford. It's a big contract.
It's
a huge contract,
but he is a...
I like Stafford.
He's a monster.
I would take Stafford.
He's a stat
still,
monster,
and he's still
if nothing
got
else.
Plenty of time left. I would take Stafford.
Washington.
No, I'm just not an Alex Smith fan.
Okay, when he's healthy, right?
Right.
The Giants.
Oh, God, no.
Right, you wouldn't want anything to do with that.
No.
Sal had a tough one yesterday, the Broncos.
No, I'm not a Case Keenum fan.
Okay.
I don't think he's that good.
The Cowboys. Prescott's good.
Yeah.
He's about to get paid big time.
Yeah, I know he is. That's a big contract coming.
I
would say yes to Prescott.
Prescott's pretty darn good, but he is at that level of, well, you're about to start paying a lot more.
I know. That's why I
for
hesitated.
The same guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes guys are wildly undervalued and then they're overpaid.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting conversation because I think the quarterbacks, what you normally have is a guy that's massively underpaid, and then he gets to the contract, and if it's Carr or Dalton, and they're he's a kind of okay, but you're about to pay him like he's Aaron Rodgers.
Pretty sure the Cowboys will not hesitate, and they will pay Dak Prescott.
Yes, they will.
Yeah.
And he will be, what, the highest paid quarterback in football, or the third highest?
For the time being.
He's going to get $28 million a year. So instead of a fourth round pick kind of salary, you go to that.
Mm-hmm.
And that massively changes
that's
how you kind of look at a guy.
Because I like him, but
yeah.
That's a big investment.
Whereas the Bills have Allen under a reasonably safe and cheap contract for 4 years, then the fifth-year option mm-hmm. is going to be, you know, fine. And then if he's worth that second contract, what you want is him to
wow.
be
what a
you want him to be definitely worth the upgrade in money or definitely worth moving on from.
Think about, I know we got to get to the break, but think about when they get to that option or when it's second contract time for Josh Allen. If he's established himself, what the heck is the average quarterback salary then? $30 million a year? The top quarterback?
Maybe.
I mean, now it's, right, it's 20 to 25, I would think, if anybody's worth their salt. When his contract is up, man.
Yeah. Carr is, a texter says Carr is trending up. He hasn't thrown a pick in 7 games.
Oh,
that is true.
Okay, I didn't know.
But in three of those games, he also did not throw a touchdown.
The Raiders have kind of become irrelevant, you know. And it's I used to love Derek Carr, and I just got really worried about what happened with him and Gruden. 803-0550 to join us, 888-550-2550. We're taking your Josh Allen pulse today, Bills fans. What do you think the last couple of games of what you've seen from him? You could even do a pre-injury, post-injury evaluation of Josh, but what do you think the last 2 games? We'll get a feel on the Bills QB from you. Whatever else is on your mind and whatever else you want to talk about, you can grab a line and share with us this morning. We'll get some more hockey talk in coming up at 9. Paul Hamilton will join us on WGR.
I still don't have the mindset that I need to sit and develop. I feel like I'm ready. I feel like I've been ready. You can always learn, but I just feel like I've been ready to go play ball. Just sitting down, kind of humble beginnings, I would say. And then now it's time to take advantage of it, be hungry, and just go out there. And now that I'm really healthy, when I was playing beginning of the season, I never felt myself. And now I just feel relieved. I feel like my body ain't got no knacks on me, and it's just right now my body feel 100, and I can go out and really just play ball without having to think about anything, just go out there and have fun.
That's Ray McLeod. That's what Sal was referring to a moment ago, one of the sound bites from the interview that Sal mentioned with us. We'll see if Ray McLeod is active for Sunday's matchup against the Jets since the Bills are down a couple of receivers. Kelvin Benjamin went through waivers unclaimed, so he is now a free agent. Andre Holmes was claimed in the waiver process by the Denver Broncos. Taron Johnson's season is over, and a fine rookie season it was for the Bills. Injury shortened, shoulder surgery for him. Jason Kroom did not practice yesterday with a groin, and John Miller was limited with an oblique. Emmanuel Sanders, his season is done. He tore an Achilles in practice. So Denver brought in Andre Holmes to fill the spot on the receiver list. The Thursday night matchup, Jags at Titans tonight. Hockey news, Willie Nylander says he'll be making his season debut for the Leafs tonight. They're playing Detroit. Anaheim's won 5 in a row. They're going to play the Sabres later this month. They beat Chicago 4-2. UB stays unbeaten. They're 8-0 after beating Lemoyne. Canisius over Robert Morris. Bonna doubled up Siena. And there, those are your headlines. Next update coming up at 9 o'clock.
Quick thing for you on the Seattle expansion.
Mm-hmm.
I maybe have a blind spot here. I can't begin to even think about who the Sabres would protect. And I'm getting people that'll text or tweet like, hey, what do you think? I got a text today like, hey, if they keep Pilot up or send him down, what's that mean for the expansion draft? And I think it is 2.5 years away.
Are the rules the same?
Yes, I think the rules will be the same.
Same thing, same numbers, same
right.
3-year guys.
Vegas
whatever.
Will be exempt, though. That's the one thing. So I decided I'm going to pull up the roster for who was on the team when Vegas was awarded the franchise. Because... right?
It's not a pretty looking roster.
Well, not
that
just
point,
that, but it's so far ago.
Yeah.
On that team, you know, O'Reilly is on the team. These are guys that have left. O'Reilly, Kane, Gianta, Molson, Foligno, Cody Franzen's on that team. Tyler Ennis, Carrier, who ends up getting taken by Vegas.
Their first year, when would the draft be, Jeremy? Their first year's 21-22? Right?
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah.
2021.
Right. So, who knows what's happening on this
roster? I have a real tough time figuring out who are they going to protect. Eichel?
Yeah. I think that's a safe bet. Darlene?
Hopefully Skinner.
Is Darlene have to be protected at that point?
Probably.
Okay.
But, you know, even to
Middle
be upset about that, to say, oh, geez, he won't be on his... He'll be eligible, so you have to protect him. That's fine. There will be other players that they will have drafted that you will want them to not be available for the for all that.
Yeah, so who knows what, you know, guys from Rochester come up in the next couple years.
Right.
I have no idea.
Right. So I
haven't thought about it at all.
I get that question and I think, man, bless you for going for it.
But talk to me in a couple years.
I think it's like doing a mock draft.
It's crazy.
Like, who should the Bills take in 2021? I don't know. Who's on the team and who's coming out in college?
Right.
There are guys that we've never even heard of
that
will be on this team.
Thought hadn't even occurred to me about what would happen in 2021 in terms of who the Bills, or excuse me, the Sabres would be protecting. So much can happen between now and then. Tim in South Florida, you're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, sure. Thanks for calling.
This old news. I know Benjamin was waived a couple days ago, but I think it was bad by the coaching staff to bring in a receiver of his caliber and call him a red zone guy. The guy can run all the routes, and I've seen him do it in college, high school, even in Carolina, but I think they just utilized him wrong. So it's another bad mistake by the coaching staff. They let the other receivers go, and you can see how they're doing well, except Sammy. He's always had the injury bug, but once again, I think Benjamin will get picked up and do real well on another team, and it's just the way you utilize guys.
Well, I would ask you this question. What did he do to warrant being utilized more?
They wasn't giving him the ball, man.
He was getting targets. I mean, the thing he's supposed to do best, Tim, he's not a burner, he's not a separator, right? The thing he's supposed to do best is use his height to make contested catches. He wasn't even doing that.
And then, you know, I can say that, you know, some things that I saw, it was on him. But one thing about a receiving quarterback, you got to have some type of chemistry. And with this season and even last season, a lot of things in the quarterback position on that team was never addressed. So even with Josh Allen here, he's a young guy. He's going to have at least 2-3 more years to gel. So hopefully with these receivers he has, he can spend more time with them.
Right.
If not, we're going to have the same issues, man.
Well, he's gelling nicely with Zay Jones.
Well, to
so
a point.
Far,
I mean, chemistry is one thing. Who are the last two receivers to have 100-yard receiving games for the Bills?
Deontay Thompson.
Robert Foster and Deontay Thompson. Yeah. These are guys that did not have chemistry with the quarterback that they got their 100-yard game with.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't dispute that you want it, and that it can be kind of important, but I don't want to get too caught up in it. I mean, Benjamin had been on this team. There's plenty of opportunity for chemistry to have built, and Benjamin didn't catch the ball.
Right, but what I'm saying is they're not going to have 100-yard game every game like Cooper, because they're not that type of talent receiver that the Bills need to go out and draft. That's what I'm saying. We got a whole bunch of guys that just, you know, middle of the road receivers, but you
oh yeah
for sure
right there
right.
And it's why, you know, I want the I want the Bills to target a receiver in the first round and probably again in maybe the third,
yeah,
maybe the first and the second. But I don't know that this team is ever going to be the kind of team that feels that they need that many receivers that badly. I'd like them to get faster. I'd like them to get so much better at that position. I wanted it last year. And, you know, Robert Foster is flashed a little bit okay. And Deontay Thompson and Isaiah McKenzie.
Right,
I mean, like,
those are supplemental guys.
Right. Who are your guys?
You're not building your receiving game with those
just
guys.
Zay Jones.
Right. That's it. That's it. Top guys, like the core guys you're going to build your passing game around. Those guys are, hey, nice to have guys, depth guys, but they're not main character guys. And I just think, Tim, thanks for the call. I think with Benjamin, you know, if he doesn't do the one thing he's supposed to do better than anything else, if he doesn't do that, where's the value? And I don't, you know, they gave him targets, they gave him chances from different quarterbacks, and, you know, and it wasn't working out. The chemistry thing, again, you know, Zay Jones has, well, he's here a little longer than Benjamin, but whatever. But with Josh Allen and with Derek Anderson and Matt Barkley, Zay Jones has the same amount of time here as Kelvin Benjamin, and he seems to have worked out some chemistry. So it's I think it's more about Benjamin and less about how the coaches used him and or the quarterbacks.
Just to revisit that Vegas and Seattle point. So Vegas gets awarded a franchise in 2016, and the expansion draft is in 2017.
Okay.
It's the very next year.
Okay. Oh.
Right?
So
because this is their second
year. Awarded.
And Seattle gets awarded a franchise in 2018, and the expansion draft is in 2021.
Why are they waiting so? Yeah, why did
they've got to renovate the arena. They've got stuff they've got to do.
Yeah. I'm good waiting.
Right. Let's let it play out.
If you're the Sabres, just let it play out, and you'll see
what
the situation
is. Well, you don't have a choice.
Is.
I mean, it's not like you can submit a list of protected players now.
For people who are sitting there worrying about this, just let it play out.
You have two full off seasons before you even consider what you're going to do.
What else is Jason Botchel doing with the roster? What trades is he making? What free agents would he sign? How does he shape the roster with guys that aren't even here yet that might... There might be guys here that you might worry about, oh, we're going to have to protect this kid. Maybe that guy goes in a trade somewhere in the next couple of years for a veteran player. So believe me, there's plenty of stuff you can worry about. Don't worry about that. All right, let's do a quick little bet it or forget it here. Got some things to run by you. Bet it or forget it is brought to you by Seneca Poker inside the Seneca Niagara Casino, the real deal for winners only. So apparently, the Oakview Group, they're responsible for the hockey team in Seattle, I guess, registered 13 possible names for a nickname for the new hockey team that's going to be the Seattle NHL Club. I'll read you the 13 names. You can tell me who you would bet, the name you would bet on as the name you would use for the new team, okay?
Okay.
These are 13 names that were registered by the Oakview Group.
You weren't here yesterday. Are you aware there's a report that the colors will basically be reddish black, red and black maybe?
Really?
Yes, because when they posed with Bettman with a jersey, the Seattle jersey was regular, but there was a young girl on the stage wearing a red and black jersey with the ownership group, which led many to say that's the way they're going to go, red and black. So,
go ahead. Does with the
proceed, because I will not bet evergreens.
Yeah, or emeralds.
I will not bet emeralds.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping for like a greenish uniform,
unless
green,
they go,
blue, almost Seahawks stuff.
They could go red, green, and black, like the Devils were red and green,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but those were hideous
they
uniforms.
Were awful.
The Christmas trees, yeah. Seattle, the Rainiers.
No, not a chance.
The Kraken.
The worst of all time.
Oh, you're just so not fun.
Wait, there was one that I hated more than the Kraken. What was that? I forgot.
Well, hang on. Evergreens, so you're ruling that one out.
Yeah.
The Seals. Well, that's not red and black. I'm sorry, I was thinking of the California Golden Seals.
They can't be that. That's annoying to say. The
Seattle Seals.
Like, let's make our name a tongue twister.
The Emeralds.
Seattle Seals victory. No.
There's your headline. Seattle Seals victory.
Yeah.
The Emeralds? Nope. The Sea Lions.
Too much of a tongue twister. I don't like it.
The Sockeyes. Boy, they're really going for alliteration with some of these names.
That one I'm all right with.
The Whales.
No.
The Eagles.
No.
The Totems.
Fine.
The Cougars.
Mm-hmm.
The Firebirds.
Love it.
That would be red and black. I don't know why.
I'm okay with that. The comparison is their WHL team is the Thunderbirds, so they'd be the Firebirds.
Oh, okay. And the Renegades. Those are the 13 names. I'd vote for Kraken myself, but that's me.
Black and red sounds like Renegades.
Sounds like Kraken. Black and red screams. Haven't you seen Black and Red Krakens?
If they name their movie based on Liam Neeson saying, release the Kraken, then they're the dumbest franchise in the history of the world.
And they can play that as the team comes out on the ice. You play that over your PA system.
And then you are the most embarrassing thing I've ever seen on an NHL. Well,
you have to learn how to have fun in life.
I have lots of fun.
Do you?
I just don't want something that dumb.
From Bovada, let's give you some more some hockey stuff, okay? 2019 Stanley Cup odds. You want to take a guess at where the Sabres are? On November 1st.
They're 14-1 now?
Oh, come on. Well, that answers the question.
This is like the worst kept secret in the world.
I didn't check. You know me, I don't check betting odds. They were 85-1 November 1st. They're now 14-1.
I would say it's terrible money at 14-1. It's great money at 80-1.
Who would you bet to win the cup? Your Leafs are 4-1. Tampa's the second favorite. Nashville's the third.
DJ writes in to remind me the grunge I hated more than the Kraken. Thank you.
Yeah, Colorado's behind the Sabres. You like them. Winnipeg.
Tell me what San Jose is again.
San Jose has dropped. They're now 20-1.
Still like it.
They were 12-1. Now 20-1. You going to go San Jose?
If I'm going to bet, yep. I'm going to get my value here.
Did you know Jeff Skinner has now gone from off the board to fourth favorite in the Rocket Richard Trophy Award odds? Better to forget it. Actually, he's tied for third with Connor McDavid. Top goal scorer, by the way, Rocket Richard.
Yeah,
better to forget it. Skinner wins this.
No.
Line A?
Sure.
Okay, it's Line A, Ovechkin, McDavid, Skinner.
Do you know, Patrick,
top three.
We talk about Jeff Skinner and how his shooting percentage can't stay where it is.
Yeah, 20-something percent.
Do you know what Patrick Laine's career shooting percentage is?
15%.
18.
That's pretty good.
Each of his first, he's in his third year in the NHL. His shooting percentage in year one was 17. You probably thought, I can't keep
That's pretty high.
Year two is 18.3. All right, he can't keep that up. This year he's 20.
Okay, but so that's realistic.
By the time he's done, he's going to shoot 100%. Every shot's going to go in.
Who's got the highest career shooting percentage?
Ever? Ever. Well, that's a good question.
I don't
question.
Even know how long they've tracked it.
I will look that up right now. That okay. is a great question.
You check that, and I'll tell everybody that Better Forget It was brought to you by Seneca Poker inside the Seneca Niagara Casino, the real deal for winners only. We'll see if we have an answer on that and get Jeremy's pick of the week when we get back. Top of the hour, Paul Hamilton will join us for some lovely Sabres hockey talk. That's coming up on WGR.
Couldn't have a better partner in the University of Houston. They have been passionate about this from the onset of the bid, and so it's really exciting to have them here today in the audience to hear this news with us. I know that in Houston we are mourning the loss of an iconic man today. He was a huge sports fan. We will miss him dearly, but I can't help but think he's looking down from heaven and he's pleased to hear this news.
That is an announcement that Houston's getting an XFL team.
Yay!
That George H.W. Bush would be smiling down.
Because of an XFL
Because team. Houston got an XFL team. That's from that announcement.
Sure. What's their name? Do we know?
No, I don't think we do know.
XFL teams don't have names yet? They just have locations?
Yes.
Okay.
And Houston got one. Among others, I think it's all... I'm trying to think if there's any city that was surprising. XFL. Let me find out real quick. You wanted to know
shooting percentage. And then your pick of the week.
Mentioned Patrick Laine's shooting percentage this year is 20%. It's his career high. He's gone up every year. So the highest shooting percentage in NHL history. There are, you know, I was trying to find like a sample size, but every one of these guys played for a long time. The number one guy shot 23% and played for 10 years. Craig Simpson.
No kidding!
Highest shooting percentage
former Buffalo Sabre
ever.
Craig Simpson. Wow.
Now, there's something to be...
23%.
There's something to be figured out in here. Goalies weren't as good. Right? How far do I have to go in all-time shooting percentage for a player career to find a player we would consider modern? Modern era-ish.
Are we not considering Craig Simpson modern era-ish?
He stopped playing in 1995. So, no. I'm not. Okay. That was 23 years ago.
Says, modern era. Says the guy who's not 40 yet.
The NHL modern era is...
So, are we going 2000 and on?
Sure. Nobody's on this list in the
From
top...
2000 on?
Okay. I mean, Patrick Laine would... Steven Stamkos is the answer. Steven Stamkos is 70th all-time in shooting percentage. He's the highest active player. He's just behind Gilbert Perreault.
Well, yeah, right, because the guys who are active have been having it's harder to score goals
much
than it
harder
was
to
30
score.
Years ago.
So here's your top 10 all-time of shooting percentage. Craig Simpson, 1. Charlie Simmer, 2.
Okay.
Paul McLean. Mike Bossy, 4th. Yvonne Lambert.
Paul McLean.
Rick Middleton. Daryl Sutter.
Yvonne Lambert? Really?
Yeah.
He wasn't even top 5 on the Canadiens' best play. Okay, go ahead.
Shot 19%.
Who knew?
Almost 20. Right, Yvonne Lambert.
Yeah,
that's a good point. You see, it doesn't say the national.
Yvonne Lambert.
If I'd seen flags next to these names, I could
don't
do
pronounce
it right.
The T. Yeah,
Blaine Stoughton.
Blaine Stoughton. Okay,
Stoughton.
Hartford Whalers.
Rob Brown and Mike Ridley. That's the
Rob
top 10.
Brown.
That's all time. Your top 10.
Not the most impressive hockey list.
Rob Brown. What do you remember about Rob Brown? Pittsburgh.
Is Curtis's half brother.
Is that right or no?
No, I have no idea.
I believed you.
No, I think, why do I think the name Rob Brown makes me think like a guy who was like a really big time scorer in like the Western Hockey League. I got to look this guy up.
When he started as a rookie, Rob Brown with the Penguins, his shooting percentage in his first season was 30%. In his second season, it was 29%. And that kind of buoyed him to the one of the highest shooting percentages in NHL history. So anyway.
Nope, didn't even get the league right. I thought he was in the Western League. Apparently he wasn't. Born in Kingston. Well, maybe he did. If I got that right, man, my wife is going to be angry at me. So you remember Rob Brown who played in... Yeah, he did. He played with Kamloops. You remember Rob Brown played in Kamloops 30 years ago, but you can't remember the things I tell you to do. Pick of the week time.
Pick of the week. Your XFL teams, if you wanted to know, by the way. There's two in Texas, it would appear.
They're not starting like... next year or anything.
Dallas, right? Houston, LA, New York, St. Louis, Seattle, Tampa, and Washington. Those are your teams in the XFL. Pick of the week. What do I want for the pick of the week here? We've got options. I mean, the Bills-Jets game is decent.
No college football.
Is the Jags Titans today? Is it color rush?
Does it matter?
Okay. I'm going to go with the afternoon hockey game.
They don't do color rush anymore, do they?
I don't know.
Okay.
1 o'clock, Flyers and Sabres. Like to see the Sabres get back on track. Like to see them have a first period like they did against the Flyers the last time they were here.
Mm-hmm.
The Flyers have fired some people. Their coach, they've got a new defensive coach, maybe an old defensive coach, whatever, Rick Wilson, who said basically said about analytics, I got analytics right here, and pointed to his eyes. So that's a good sign for the Flyers.
Okay.
So yeah, Sabres-Flyers, 1 o'clock. We'll make that my pick of the week because why not, right?
Works for me.
I mean, Bills-Jets is interesting, but anyway, my pick of the week is brought to you by Riverfront Auto Sales. Their pick of the week is a 2011 BMW 328xi. Marty Sr., Marty Jr. have a beauty on the lot. Hunter green, leather interior, excellent shape, all-wheel drive. Clean Carfax for only $12,995. That's a 2011 BMW. That's their pick of the week at Riverfront Auto Sales.
Paul Hamilton next on WGR.
Oh, Army Navy. Sorry.
Oh, Army Navy is Saturday.
A texter suggested it. Fine. Ooh. Army Navy.
Army,
yes.
Army going for like a third or fourth straight win. Yeah, go Army. Okay.
Yeah, we'll go with that one. Two picks of the week.
All right.